www.cyber.com. And now, here's the host of 15 Minutes, Peter Dottie.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest radio talk show, brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Radotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature Inside Your Computer. This is similar to my newspaper article, Inside Your Computer, in the Philadelphia Public Record, discussing many interesting topics about computer security. Later in this segment, we'll give you a chance to call in with questions on today's computer security topic. Today's topic is rogueware. A rogueware program is a program that pretends to be something well-known that's not harmful, but it is harmful. This makes it a type of Trojan. There are many types of Trojans, including scareware, logic bombs, time bombs, and of course today's topic, rogueware. The specific type of rogueware that I want to talk about today is fake antivirus programs. You might not think this is a serious problem, but it is. The problem comes in three parts. The first is that whoever sold you the fake program now has your credit card number, name, address, and everything needed to steal your identity. The second problem is that the fake antivirus program is normally also a keylogger that records all of your user IDs and passwords, especially to your bank accounts. The third problem is that you think your computer is protected by an antivirus program, and in fact, it's not. Clearly, this is a serious problem involving fraud, identity theft, and extended monitoring of your activities. Generally, an attack of this type happens in one of a few ways. First, a computer user searches the internet for an antivirus program. If they find and decide to download a fake antivirus program, that's one way of getting caught. The cyber crooks might even make a website that looks like they're selling a well-known antivirus program when what is actually downloaded is their fake program. Of course, auction websites also have this problem. Finally, a great deal of these types of programs reach the victim by way of unsolicited bulk email. The crooks may make use of real known problems like describing a slow computer or a computer that crashes often as potentially infected. If you download the fake antivirus program, it will find serious virus infections on your computer. Of course, it's not finding anything. It's not a real antivirus program, so it just tells you any lie that is necessary to get you to buy the program. Once you buy it, they've got your identity. Even if you don't buy it, the program is on your computer and monitoring your activity, waiting for you to log into a bank or other financial website. Still not convinced that you could be the victim of rogueware? Panda Labs has stated that 46.8% of all computers worldwide are infected with something, and 5.4% are infected with rogueware. Not only that, but 40% of all rogueware ever created was created in 2010. That makes it both an urgently growing and current problem. Why is this problem increasing so rapidly? It has been estimated that rogueware authors make about $34 million a month, which works out to $408 million a year. That's a lot of money, even for legitimate businesses that have to make payroll. And these guys don't have any real expenses. They get to keep it all. Just because someone is educated or knows how to program, that doesn't mean they're honest. $400 million is a lot of temptation. And as you know, just because something looks good doesn't mean that it is. While virus and Trojan names don't actually mean anything, rogueware names are generally intended to try to further hide their true identity. Some rogueware names are System Guard 2009, MS Anti-Spyware 2009, Malware Doctor, Anti-Malware Doctor, Antivirus Pro 2010, Security Master AV, Adware Security Tool, iSecurity 2010, Security Essentials 2010. The presence of a file with one of these names does not mean you are infected, since you might have a real program of a similar name installed. There's only one way to know if you're infected with rogueware, and that's to install a known good, real antivirus program. I recommend that you download the Windows antivirus demo from CyberSoft Operating Corporation. It's a known, real antivirus program, and the demo version is free. It will not lie about infections, but if it actually detects an infection, it will tell you. At this time, we're going to open up the phone lines to the listeners. If there's any questions about today's computer topics I spoke about, call now in Philadelphia. It's 610-667-9697, or in New Jersey, 1-877-667-9697. And, you know, again, if you want to download that demo, it's www.cyber.com, and you can download the antivirus demo, or you can purchase it for $24.95 for a one-year license. Remember, December 7th, 1941, Japanese planes attacked the United States Naval Base at Pearl Harbor in the Hawaiian Islands, killing more than 2,300 Americans, and the USS Arizona was destroyed and the USS Oklahoma capsized. The following day, President Franklin Roosevelt addressed a joint session of Congress calling December 7th a date that will live in infamy. So in paying respect to the many people who lost their lives or lives of loved ones on that horrible day in American history, we honor all of them. Let's play a song in their memory. Here's the late, great Kate Smith singing God Bless America here on Between the Minutes continues on Radio 1540 AM. Thank you, veterans. Welcome back to Between the Minutes on WNWR 1540 AM Philadelphia. And you can also listen to us on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. I understand that we have our first caller right now, which is Mike from King of Prussia. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Do you have any questions?
Yeah, Pete, I do have some questions for you. I have two questions. The first one is, what is the difference between rogueware and scareware, since, you know, they sound roughly the same?
Well, they are similar. The names don't actually mean anything as, you know, much as it might seem like it. Generally, rogueware attempts to deceive the user into paying for the removal of viruses that are not on the system, while scareware just means any program that attempts to get you to spend money by scaring you. I mean, that's basically it, and they can be both be the same thing.
Okay. I guess my other question was, how do I know if I'm downloading, you know, a real antivirus program or a fake one?
That's hard because it takes a real antivirus program to determine if you're infected with rogueware. If you're not sure the source of the download, then don't download or purchase it. Online classified advertisements and websites are not a good way to determine if the company's real. A company like Cybersoft has been in business for 20 years, so you can be sure of them as long as you're buying a product from their website, which is www.cyber.com. Of course, the same holds true for all of the other antivirus companies. Buy directly from their website or from a website that you trust, like a national bookstore or other well-known national website. If you're buying from a bricks-and-mortar store, make sure the product is in an unopened box that is professionally made and has no spelling mistakes. Spelling mistakes are often one sign of fake software.
Okay. I think that answers my questions. Thank you very much. I'm enjoying the show.
Okay, thank you. And we have another caller, Neil from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Neil, are you there?
Listen, I have a question. I don't use antivirus, and I've never been infected. So why should I buy any, since it sounds like I really don't have to worry about these fake programs?
Well, no one forces you to buy an antivirus program, but you should know the risks, and the risks are increasing. Right now, if you make very limited use of your computer and you don't visit unknown websites, your risk is lower. In addition, you can't tell if you've never been infected. Your computer could be infected with a dozen attack programs, and if they were well-written, you would not be able to tell. While a computer that crashes often or is very slow can indicate an infection, infections are not the only cause of these problems, and not all infections display these symptoms. Only a real antivirus program can tell the difference. So I want to thank our callers today to the program. I hope my answers were helpful. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. In wrapping up this week's segment of Inside Your Computer, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article, Inside Your Computer, published every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. Between the Minutes continues next with our special guests on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McTavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the ASYMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. Between the Minutes reaches a large listening audience throughout the Tri-State area with 50,000 watts of power. You could increase your selling power by advertising on the Between the Minutes program. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti from Between the Minutes. In this season of hope, when you want your gifts to really matter, there's one gift you can always count on to save the day. A donation to the American Red Cross of Southeastern Pennsylvania. When disaster strikes, when a neighbor's house burns down, offering the comfort of a helping hand, your local Red Cross is always there. To donate, go to redcrossphilly.org or call 215-299-4000.
New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
The businessmen and professionals. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. Today's guest on Between the Minutes will be State Senator Anthony Williams. Welcome to the show, Senator Williams. Do we have Senator Williams? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I don't know. It looks like we lost Senator Williams. So we're going to move into one of our other guests, which is Mr. Frank Amable. With Frank, you're the Executive Vice President at CyberSoft. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
And I understand that you know, you have opinions about the elections that are coming up, especially the primary elections right now are around the corner, and your experience in the political areas. You know, how about if we talk about politics a little bit today?
I'd be glad to.
Okay. So, you know, you grew up in the city, and now you're living in the suburbs, and you've experienced city politics and suburban politics. What's the difference?
Well, in my experiences, growing up in the city, it seemed like there was growing up in the city, I feel as though that there's a lot more involvement. There's a lot more people that are more interested in the elections and the election process. And growing up in, and now living in the suburbs, I noticed that it seems like there's not too much excitement as we're used to in the city. And I find that there's a lot of people that are not as interested in their who they're voting for or the elections, regardless if it's a judge's election or anything higher up like a mayor or a governor. But actually, I feel as though that that's about it for now.
Okay. Well, I understand that we got Senator Williams back. So, Senator, are you there?
I am here. How you doing?
Okay. Wonderful. I'm glad to have you on the show. Let's talk about your career in the Pennsylvania Senate, which I understand started in 1998.
1998. That's a lifetime ago.
Wow.
I actually had dark hair.
All right. Well, you know, I actually, you're very popular. I follow you. I think you're great. And I noticed that you're not afraid to challenge popularly held conventions, even if it helps improve the lives of your constituents. Some of your challenges include ending unfair insurance credit scoring practices, curbing energy rate hikes, and ensuring educational options for residents of Philadelphia. Can you touch on that?
Yeah, and usually what happens is, on a serious note, I mean, I got involved in public service as a child. My father was a politician. Some people may know him, Hardy Williams. It was not my career ambition to be in elective office. I mean, I went off to college, got a degree in economics, and went to work in Washington, D.C. for a few years for a small consulting firm doing economic analysis. And then I left there and worked for PepsiCo for a number of years as a mid-level executive. And came back to Philadelphia and was approached by my father and some others to ask me what I would run for office. And at the time, I wasn't inclined to do it based upon, you know, the level of commitment, time, and service. And over a period of time, I started to see some things were happening in my old neighborhood that I was concerned about. I got more engaged, and then I ran for office. And I had a company, had to sell that. And what I discovered, you know, about my personality, I don't get elected to get reelected. I get elected to really represent where I think people are, and sometimes that, you know, is misunderstood by either the press or by others who are sort of on the other side of opinions that I may have. And so all the things you just mentioned are issues that are critical. Your personal line insurance, that means your home insurance, your auto insurance, having your credit as a part of it, one is curious. Most people wonder why it would be included. I myself don't understand why it would be included. But that said, especially in tough economic times, if you have insurance, which you definitely need, if you have a home that you've been holding on to by the skin of its teeth or a car that takes you back and forth to work, in these times, those things should not be affected by your credit. Of course, you know, I annoy the insurance industry when I sort of stand up to those issues. When I talk about, you know, school choice, you know, which is historically was not a Democratic issue. It was held by the Republicans. But when I studied this issue for over the last 12 to 15 years, I've seen, unfortunately, too many children trapped in public schools that have an ability to do better. And until, quote-unquote, we either fix the public process, we shouldn't be sacrificing children simply because they don't have money to go to a school of their choice. And so I'm a person who believes in options, charters, cybers, scholarships, vouchers, whatever it may be, including your neighborhood school. As long as it meets your needs and is a good option, I think I should support it. Those kind of things I've been doing for a long time, and I've had some success, you know, because you have to cross the aisle to get these things done, and you have to rally other people with other perspectives who are sort of fighting against you. And I've had some level of success getting those things done.
It really sounds like you're talking about things that are common sense. You're holding values that not only are common sense, but they're values that directly help the people that you represent. And I'm very much in favor of education, and I understand that, you know, your latest educational bill is SB1, Opportunity Scholarship Act. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it started, it was Senate Bill 1405 initially, and specifically gave vouchers to those children who are low and modest income, who were in schools that were academically failing. That means that the majority of the student population or performance at school was below what we call proficient. That means average at best. That the majority of the students in that building were in a building that wasn't meeting their academic benefit, and would allow them to take this voucher in the range of $7,000 to $9,000 and go find a school, be it private, parochial, be it a charter or another public school. Take that money and go find a school that's more suitable for their outcome. As we currently speak, we've had hearings in the Senate Education Committee over the last month or so prior to us recessing. When we come back in January, the bill that was 1405 will become Senate Bill 1. It'll be the first bill coming out of being debated in the Senate, and I expect it to draw a lot of attention. The governor-elect, that's Tom Corbett, has publicly stated that he supports the bill as it's currently constructed, and so we expect a lot of activity to occur around Senate Bill 1.
Well, you mentioned that Governor-elect Tom Corbett's supporting you, but I also know that the IBEW Local 98, the Laborers' District Council of the metropolitan area of Philadelphia and the vicinity, have announced their support. I mean, getting that kind of backing must be really important to your bill.
It is, because there's a perception that, you know, those who support vouchers would be anti-union, and that's not the case. We're pro-children. And interestingly enough, when I first got engaged, there were a number of people who were in the trades who, you know, were sending their kids to parochial school. And they understood that, you know, they're making sacrifices to do that. They're paying taxes on top of it. And this most recent round, we were very fortunate to get Johnny Dock to step up publicly and say he would engage with us and say publicly he supported it, understood it. Many of his members are benefited by it, along with Sam Staten Jr., through the laborers, who've also said that they embrace it and support it because many of their members also, you know, decide to send their children to charter schools or private schools.
I personally agree with everything that you've said. I don't see this as anti-union. I do see it as pro-children. And it's not just pro-children. It's pro-America, because anything that improves the education of our children improves America. You know, you're always in the community. You're making yourself available to your constituents. You know, as recent as Thanksgiving, you've hosted a turkey giveaway, helping to feed hundreds of people in the area. That's really interesting. Can you tell me, how does a turkey giveaway work?
Well, what people need to know is that, unfortunately, Philadelphia County is probably the poorest big city in the country. About 23%, 24% of our population fall into the federal poverty guidelines, and that means our public school system is currently, I think it's like 85% of the student population qualifies for Title I, Many of these students are going to school hungry. We have a problem with starvation in Philadelphia because we have such a poor city. And so myself and a gentleman by the name of Tyrone Gilliams wanted to combine and partner around these holiday seasons, specifically around Thanksgiving and Christmas, to impact those homes, to draw attention to the fact that we have this huge problem of starvation, that philanthropically the government can do so much, but we need more charities to be engaged to support more people. So during that holiday period of time, we gave out over 1,000 turkeys across Philadelphia, which was, I guess, the largest turkey giveaway I've ever heard about. And during the Christmas season, or that period of time when Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa may be celebrated, we are going to support families, you know, through toys and through celebration and through other activities that we're creating, so that we can draw attention to this huge need that we have in Philadelphia County.
Senator, I honestly didn't know that Philadelphia was, you know, that high up in the hunger chain. Actually, Between the Minutes supports the Philabundance with public service announcements. So, you know, we do understand that this is a serious problem. I just didn't realize it was that big of a problem. And I noticed besides that, you're also involved in different types of community workshops throughout the year. I actually attended your job fair. Can you tell us what kind of workshops you have coming up? I understand there's one on December 8th.
Yeah, well, we're currently in the heating season or utility season. So what we're talking about today is educating more constituents about how to weatherize their homes. Some people, unfortunately, are more aware of LIHEAP, which is the federal program that allows you to get a grant to pay a small portion of your utility bill. Myself personally, I've experienced using weatherization products for my home, cutting my utility bill literally by almost 40% within 1 year. And so we wanted to show those measures as much more effective and dramatic. So we had a whole venue of vendors come out to explain how to weatherize your home. I actually happen to live in older property, a true Philadelphia row house, where we have radiators, heaters. We had an old boiler. We had cracks and crevices throughout the house that I wasn't aware about. We actually had a company come in to do the weatherization process. They put flashing behind our radiators, sealed off holes that may have not been seen. I actually bought a boiler this year that I'm going to get a federal credit on and a return to my dollars. And so we through these workshops, point out all the ways that you can go about cutting your utility costs because they've been creeping up for the last 15 years significantly. And now that the caps, and there were artificial caps placed upon utilities in Pennsylvania, specifically electric caps, those caps have now come off. So our utility bills in this region will probably go up 10%. So these workshops are designed to offset that increase by savings that one will be able to recover doing weatherization to your property.
That's really interesting. I recently did some weatherization at my home, and it did make a difference in my electric bills. Senator, I understand that you're moving your main district office to a new location. Can we tell your constituents how they can find you, also your website and phone number?
You can, and of course, you asked me the new address. Of course, I'm sitting in a place where I don't have it, but by the time we get off this phone, I'll make sure I have it.
Okay. Well, what we'll do is we'll put your new location on the show's website, and anyone looking to contact your office and you will know how to get you from there. Our website, of course, is www.betweentheminutes.com. And, you know, Senator, do you have anything else that you'd like to add to the to your comments right now?
Well, I just want to talk. I just want to tell your listeners, I'm grateful and appreciative that you allowed me to come on and share information about what I'm doing and what's being done through representation in the state government. And the most other obvious thing is it's the greatest radio show in Philadelphia County.
Wow, thank you very much. And I'm really happy to have you on the show. I hope that we can have you on the show again soon. And, you know, you're just really a fabulous representative of the people. You
thank
really
you.
Do care.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
So thank you much.
All right.
So we still have Frank here. Frank, you were in the middle of answering a question when we got Senator Williams on the line.
Yeah, we were talking about the difference of the elections with the suburbs and the city. And I was saying a little bit about growing up in a city, how it seems like there's just so much more involvement and so much more excitement for different elections, regardless of how big or small. And now living in the suburbs, I feel as though that you don't feel that excitement and that amount of intense involvement that you would in the city.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I've seen some of what happens in the city, and I've been in the suburbs. I've worked in politics in the suburbs. And you're right. There's a big difference. I guess you could almost say in the suburbs it's a spectator sport, and in the city it's a involvement sport. People are heavily involved, and it's just more the way life is in the city. So it's 32 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM and live on the web at WNWR.com. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. We'll be right back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McDavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the ASYMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. Between the Minutes reaches a large listening audience throughout the Tri-State area with 50,000 watts of power. You could increase your selling power by advertising on the Between the Minutes program. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
When disaster strikes with a vengeance, Americans strike back with generosity. Thanks to your monetary donations, the Salvation Army is there from the very beginning and remains until the healing is complete, serving the physical and emotional needs of disaster victims and emergency responders. Give today at 1-800-SAL-ARMY or SalvationArmyUSA.org and help the Salvation Army continue doing the most good.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti, and our guest for this segment is the Executive Vice President of CyberSoft Operating Corporation, Mr. Frank Immobile. Frank, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, I've noticed a difference in the politics in the suburbs in the last, I don't know, half dozen years or so. It's changing, and I don't really know why it's changing. You've been in the city. You've been in the suburbs. What do you think?
Well, from what I could see, I see a lot of influx of different other areas coming into the suburbs. With that, it seems like they're coming in with new ideas. It seems like they're reigniting the fact of getting people out to vote, whereas when I first noticed in the suburbs, that wasn't being done. So I see a real change in getting people out to the voter, to get out and vote. And do what God gave you as a right to do, vote, and get your people in that you want in. And that's the biggest thing I see in the change.
Well, you know, that is true. I mean, what happened in the suburbs in the past is you knew exactly which party was going to be elected in which town, and it's been that way for years and years and years. Although I also noticed, for the most part, the difference between the parties in the suburbs was literally just a name. People really cared about their town, about the people in their town, and there was more a matter of cooperation than there was a matter of fighting. I also noticed that it's sort of that way in the city, that people cooperate in order to get something done rather than fight over party idealism or something.
Well, you have both. I mean, and it seems like more cooperation is being noticed and being addressed, but you still have your fighting and you have your behind the scenes. People want in the city the candidates that they want, and they do about just about what they need to do and to get them in. So back to with the suburbs, I see a resurgence in that direction, like in the city, where you're getting more people out. And that's the important thing. Do what God gave you the right to do and vote.
Well, you know, yeah, I have noticed, at least at my polling place, that the number of people voting has been at all-time high for the last couple of years. And every time I go to vote, it's higher and higher. In the past, we only had high numbers on presidential elections, but now it's every election, and every election is getting higher.
Well, here again, I believe there's an influx of fresh ideas, new people coming from different areas that are reinstilling the fact of, you know, get out and vote, regardless of the level of the candidate, being a judge, being a prothonotary, and any form of politician.
Okay. Well, you're saying basically it's reinvigorating the political scene in the suburbs, and apparently getting out the vote is important to you. I assume that has something to do with your union affiliation. You know, what part did you play with getting people out to vote when you were a union official?
Back in the early 90s, when I was Secretary Treasurer to Labor's Local 57, we had, under Rich McCurdy, we had started our political action committee. That was really important. You know, at the same time, our Labor's District Council, which was comprised of 332. A very good man, a mentor to me in my life, in my political career, Sam Staten Sr., he had his political action committee in full force. We had Local 413 from Chester. We had Local 135 from the Norristown area. So we needed to get it on board. And thankfully, when Richie, our business manager at the time, Rich, he and me and a gentleman who's now Secretary of Treasury and assistant business manager, Mike Rafagno, we got the Political Action Committee up and running to get our members out and get active in the communities to get the people elected that we needed to get elected.
Wow. So, you know, are you still involved in politics? And if so, what capacity?
Well, ever since I was able to vote and up until my union career and up until now, I find it very invigorating to be involved in the voting process, whether it be just to vote, showing a interest in the candidates. And, yes, I am looking forward to hopefully getting back involved in Philadelphia, because that's where my hometown and heart will always be, and get involved in some political campaigns coming up in the primary. Actually, back in 2004, I was actively involved with some city council people and some judges running South Philadelphia and taking care of some wards and divisions within that area.
That must have been fascinating. You know, I've worked on different campaigns too, and there's always some little funny anecdote that you can talk about that is not political. It's just, you know, some little funny thing that happened during a campaign. Do you have any stories like that?
It had to do with campaigns. I remember one night, getting close to the primary, we had put up all these different signs and all this advertising for different political candidates that we were backing. And the next morning we got up, none of the signs were there.
Okay.
So we had to get out all the guys and redo it again. But the good thing was that we did, and it's just in the spirit of competition, as I call it.
Yeah, I've had something like that happen to me too. These days, at least in the suburbs, what you'll see is these little lawn things that you stick into the lawn with the sign
sure.
on it, and then what'll happen is you'll come by the next day, and your opponent stuck their sign a half inch in front of your sign. They didn't touch your sign. You can't complain that they touched your sign, but you can't see it anymore. It's completely blocked. I think that's just hilarious.
Oh, it is. It's called political positioning on your front lawn.
Well, unfortunately, it's usually not the front lawn. It's usually public areas where they do that. If it's on the front lawn, the lawn owner would get upset.
I always had a story where I would say that if every sign that was out on any kind of property could vote, there'd be a lot more voters that are registered by the signs versus the individuals that aren't registered.
Yeah. You know, whatever happened to campaign buttons and bumper stickers and all those things, they've completely disappeared.
Well, back in 2004, we had a lot of those. And they do disappear. People take them, say thank you. You see them for a short period of time. And, yeah, you're right, Pete. They kind of disappear.
Well, unless they have diamonds and rubies in them, it's not exactly jewelry. Nobody's going to wear it day in and day out.
But it's usually the day of election, you like to see them wearing. At least it gives you an idea of who you're voting for. But here again, people have that mindset that they rather do their voting in the booth when the curtain's closed versus letting you know who's wearing, who's supporting who.
Yeah, that's true. It is kind of a shame to see those disappear because, believe it or not, collecting campaign buttons is a big hobby, and you'll actually see campaign buttons on some of the auction websites and things like that. So I guess that's a hobby that's slowly going away. You know, do you see any other differences between the suburbs and the city as far as politics goes? I mean, there's also the issue that the city's just massive, and the suburbs are basically smaller townships with less people, less money to spend, things like that.
Here again, it goes with the different influxes that I've seen of different other areas moving into different parts of the suburbs. And I see that, you know, over time, there's been a large change in voter output. And that's a good thing. It goes to show you that maybe some different mindsets are waking up some of the people that weren't going out to vote and now are going out to vote. Because here again, you know, you are given a right to vote. This country makes sure of that as part of your God-given right. And I always felt bad for the people that just sat home and always says, well, they're going to win anyway. Well, everybody had that mindset and nobody came out to vote. Well, nobody's going to win because it's just being said instead of being implemented and voting.
Well, you know, that's true. I have noticed one other thing, and maybe you can bring some light to this. In the past, every candidate told you which party affiliation they were with, either an R, a D, or an independent. And now none of them say which party they're associated with. Now, is that a matter of they want you to vote for them and not the party, or is it a matter of they don't want to scare off people from the other party voting for them? What is that?
Well, it could be a variety of things. The one thing I do see is that naturally every individual out there campaigning wants you to vote for them. The party affiliation is understood because that's what they're representing. But the person, the individual, is asking you for their vote. So kind of like it's more of the individual with the understanding that by doing that, you're voting for the party.
Okay. So that does make it a little harder for people to understand where your stance on things are, unless, of course, your stance is that you are an individual and they go in, read your literature, read your website, listen to you when you're on Between the Minutes or some other radio show. So that is an interesting concept. Now, do you have any questions for me since I've been in the suburbs a long time?
Well, yeah. I mean, I understand that you went back in the day were a committeeman in the suburbs.
Yes, I was. And it was an interesting experience. I even found somebody else that was running for committeeman that I thought would make a better committeeman than me. So when he wasn't looking, I told everyone to vote for him. Of course, the second he came by and saw that I was telling people to vote for him, he told them to vote for me. So it was quite interesting. And I was very happy that he got elected. He's going to be a good committeeman. But I was also happy that I didn't lose by too much because, you know, that would have hurt. So that was funny. I guess the only other thing is that, you know, I was involved for a long, long time. And I saw a great deal of changes in politics in the suburbs, especially the western suburbs, where things just sort of wound down. You know, it went from being, you know, well-oiled machines to just tired, slowly running machines. You know, like when you see these oil pumps out west and they're going slowly.
Man, they're losing steam is right.
Yeah, and that definitely happened. And now, at least in the western suburbs, the D's have gotten their machine back together and are really operating like a real machine, whereas the R's seem to be a little lost. And I don't really understand that, but I would imagine that they'll catch up and notice that things need to change soon. I don't know. Did you see anything like this?
I've seen that. I mean, even in the city and some neighborhoods and some capacities, it slowed up. It's all according to the people and the people in themselves coming out to vote. I mean, in some wards, some districts, you get a lot more interest, and then there's others that are less interested. It's all according to the individuals that make them up.
Okay, well, you're listening to Between the Minutes on WNWR 1540 AM Philadelphia and live on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. We'll be right back.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR Philadelphia.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti from Between the Minutes. In this season of hope, when you want your gifts to really matter, there's one gift you can always count on to save the day. A donation to the American Red Cross of Southeastern Pennsylvania. When disaster strikes, when a neighbor's house burns down, offering the comfort of a helping hand, your local Red Cross is always there. To donate, go to redcrossphilly.org or call 215-299-4000.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333 or email sales at betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes. Thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
When disaster strikes with a vengeance, Americans strike back with generosity. Thanks to your monetary donations, the Salvation Army is there from the very beginning and remains until the healing is complete, serving the physical and emotional needs of disaster victims and emergency responders. Give today at 1-800-SAL-ARMY or SalvationArmyUSA.org and help the Salvation Army continue doing the most good.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Radonis.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM, brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. Our special guest on this segment will be Mr. Wilfredo Rojas. Welcome to the show, Wilfredo.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me. You have a great show. I'm sure the listening audience is really enjoying this new wave radio of yours.
Oh, I'm blushing right now. Thank you. So I'm really glad you took the time to call in on the show today. You know, looking on my calendar, I see that you're going to be on the show December the 28th talking about real estate. Is that correct?
That is correct, and that is a topic that most Philadelphians and people in the Delaware Valley and across America are really concerned with. We want to be able to make some clarifications about the real estate market and where we're headed in this economy.
Wow, and then I understand you're also going to be back on the show on January 4th talking about Three Kings. Can you tell us about that?
The Three Kings, we are in the business of really promoting diversity in a country that's becoming increasingly diverse. And the Three Kings Day celebration is very important in Latino culture, in the culture of our neighbors to the south of the United States. And we want to come on and talk a little bit about the significance of Three Kings Day and have the audience call in so they can get an education about the significance of Three Kings Day, not only in the lives of Latino Americans, but in the lives of Americans in general.
So is Three Kings a religious reference, or is it a strictly a cultural reference?
It's both. It has its roots in the religious tradition of not only the Latino Americans, but also the Polish Americans are very big on Three Kings Day in other cultures. It also has, it's also taken on an air of a second Christmas for people all over the world. That, as a matter of fact, some people actually delay the celebration of Christmas for Three Kings Day, and to them it becomes a cultural event rooted in their religious tradition. So you would say that it's a mixture of the religious tradition translated into a cultural, what they call a surface culture, of a new generation of countries.
Wow, okay. You know, have you been able to listen to the show so far? I know it's hard to both be on the show and listen to the show, but have you listened to any of it so far today?
Yeah. I think you guys have a fantastic format. I think that you're really imparting some important information with your guests to the public, and I think this is the way that radio should proceed. They should proceed with good interactive information to your listening audience.
Well, we had Senator Williams on. He was talking about the importance of education. And I know that that is critical in the Latino community. And, of course, it should be critical in every community. But can you touch a little bit on that?
It's interesting that you raised that, because I just had an interview with Tom Ferret, who used to be a world-renowned columnist with the Philadelphia Inquirer. And we were talking about the alarming 57% male Latino dropout rate in the city of Philadelphia, and how a lot of people in Philadelphia are abandoning your public schools and are either going to charter schools or to private schools for a better education. It's very sad, because it's really an indictment of our public school system and the fact that we have to quickly huddle and try and come up with a different strategy for educating our kids in Philadelphia.
Wow. We look forward to having you on the show and continuing this discussion. I'm especially interested in hearing about the Three Kings. So, you know, I'm looking forward to you you coming on then. So,
I'm looking forward to the audience jotting down the two dates, December the 28th, and then again on January the 4th, and call in with your questions so we can really impart important information with your listening audience. And listen, I really appreciate what you do for Philadelphia and the Delaware Valley in general.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I look forward to having you on the show.
We'll see you then.
See you then. We're going to go back and finish our conversation with Frank, and then we're going to wrap up the show because it's getting almost near the top of the hour. So, Frank, we were talking about differences in politics between the suburbs and the city, how in the city it's a contact sport. In the suburbs, it used to be more of a spectator sport, but it's starting to change and become more of a contact sport.
Well, here again, as we left off, I agree. It seems that, like I said, with the different mindsets and cultures that are moving into the suburbs, that yes, the contact sport, so to speak, mentality or design in the city of Philadelphia, kind of politics, is starting to rapidly grow and move into the suburban sector.
Wow. Now, you know, for me, the most important thing that a politician has to offer is common sense. You know, I want to see them talking about things that really matter to the people, like education. And of course, taxes are always an issue for everybody. And taxes is a double-edged sword. The local government needs tax money to do what it has to do. But citizens don't particularly want to pay more because, well, you know, they want to spend it themselves, not have it spent for them. But, you know, you got to have services. You know, people have to collect the trash. People have to provide police. People have to provide fire. So, you know, it's changing.
I hear you. It was really great that Wilfredo called in. And just to remind some of the listeners again, Wilfredo's two dates are December 28th, talking about real estate, and January 4th, talking about the Three Kings.
Okay, well, you know, you're listening to Between the Minutes on WNWR 1540 AM, Philadelphia, and we're live on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. We're brought to you by the CyberSoft Operating Corporation at www.cyber.com. Give them a call if you need any computer security, including Windows computer security, which they are having a special on right now. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our guests for coming on the show. And we'll see you again next week. Thank you much.
The preceding program was brought to you by the CyberSoft Operating Corporation.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
And this sweet tea from McDonald's is the real deal. We got to put folks onto this.
I'm going to post it on Twitter.
You going to send a sweet tea tweet?
I'm going to send a Mickey D's sweet tea and straight up legit tweet.
Man, I'm going to retweet that sweet tea tweet all up and down the street.
Okay, now you just tripping.
Spread that sweet tea love to your social network. Right now, get 32 ice cold ounces of refreshing sweet tea for just a buck.